Welcome to a deep dive into context recognition. We hear this term often.
Yes.
But what does it mean in technology?
It's fascinating, isn't it? How a phone, your watch, even your house could understand what you're doing.
And why?
Precisely. That's the core of context recognition. Gathering data to interpret actions, intentions even, within an environment.
Like my fitness tracker knowing it's cycling, not running.
Exactly. Or a smart home, dimming lights, playing music as you enter.
Tech anticipating our needs. How futuristic. But this paper, towards dynamically configurable context recognition systems.
Ah, yes, an insightful paper.
It reveals the challenges in making this a reality.
It does. Current systems, they're sophisticated, but inflexible.
Not as smart as we'd hope.
In a way. They're designed for the predefined. Struggle with new environments, or if the user changes behavior.
Can you give an example of that?
Imagine a fitness tracker. Every time you swim instead of run, you have to reset it. Not seamless.
Not at all.
The researchers, they argue for standardized data. Better ways to represent context itself.
A universal language for our devices.
Precisely. Without it, it's a fragmented landscape. Devices can't communicate, let alone adapt to individual needs.
And that brings us to data. Gathering the information to decipher this language. Why is that so complex?
The sheer variety, the volume of it. Think of the sensors we use.
Yeah.
Phones, wearables, smart home devices.
Each collecting data differently.
Yes. Managing that is the first hurdle. More sensors, more data. It burdens the user, the system's processing it.
Then there's synchronizing it all.
Ah, yes. The timing of it all. Each sensor with its quirks, like an orchestra.
The symphony of information. But there's a human element too, right? My cooking dinner might be different from yours.
You've hit on a crucial point. Context is subjective. What we find trivial is vital for a system trying to predict human behavior.
Makes sense.
So they developed a tool chain to collect, manage, analyze this diverse data. One data set, Everyday Living, involved 72 sensors.
72? That seems a bit excessive.
It sounds extreme, but it highlights the complexity of us. The point wasn't just data accumulation, it's patterns, meaningful signals amidst the noise. Teaching machines to make sense of it. They focused on specific scenarios, each with unique sensor setups, like drink and work, bicycle repair, car maintenance even.
From the everyday to the more specialized. This data, does it become available to other researchers?
That is the plan, to make it public, a contribution to the field as a whole.
That's great to hear. Such a resource could accelerate things. With this toolset they've built, what kind of breakthroughs are they seeing?
Well, one area is understanding where a device is worn on the body, how that impacts the data.
An accelerometer on my wrist versus my ankle, that'll be different.
Exactly. They've come up with some ingenious solutions for this. First, they can tell if it's even on the body or in the environment, just from the motion.
So my phone knows if it's in my bag versus on the table.
That's the goal.
No more manual input for that. Amazing. What else can they tell from location?
They can pinpoint where on the body, just from the motion data. No preset locations needed.
So my fitness tracker adjusts if it's on my ankle, not wrist. True user friendliness.
Yes. And they've developed ways to compensate for movement, changes in orientation, so the data is accurate even if the device shifts during an activity.
Clever. It's like they're outsmarting the limitations of these sensors. But with all this data from different places, how do we make sense of it? Knowing where a device is one thing, but what about understanding the actions?
You're right. Knowing location isn't enough. That's where they introduce sensor abstraction, moving beyond raw data to extract higher level information, something meaningful across devices and contexts.
Could you give me an example of that? How do you go from raw sensor readings to an actual activity?
Take walking. Instead of separate accelerometer, gyroscope data, they combine it. Recognize the pattern of walking, regardless of which device or where it is.
The system learns the activity, not just specific readings.
Yes. It's a fundamental shift. Of course, it gets trickier with more complex activities.
Walking, I can grasp. But what about working from home or feeling stressed? That goes beyond just physical movement.
That is the next challenge. Absolutely. How to make abstractions for things that are context dependent, subjective even, culturally influenced. It's a big task. But their work shows promise.
So where do we go from here? How do we tackle those higher level abstractions, moving towards technology that truly gets us?
Well, they're taking a, shall we say, ambitious approach. Crowdsourcing.
Crowdsourcing context. That's an idea.
They envision smartphone users contributing to this huge pool of context data. think about it. Smartphones, they're already powerful data gatherers.
Yeah.
Always on us, all these sensors.
True. We carry them but barely think about what they're recording.
And that's the key. Smartphones can unlock a much deeper understanding of human behavior, of context.
But how do you get people to participate? Sharing this data, especially when context seems so abstract, most people just want their phone to work, not think about accelerometers.
You've hit on a real challenge, and they realize that.
It's about finding the right incentives, right? Making it worthwhile for people to share their data, especially when it's about something as, well, inventable as context.
Indeed. One strategy is highlighting the personal benefit. Imagine insights derived from your data, feedback on your activity, sleep, or even suggestions to improve your day.
That could be very persuasive. People like personalized recommendations. It makes you feel understood, which I guess is the whole point of context recognition. But even if you get people on board, there's still the issue of data quality. Can you really rely on information from non-experts?
That's a valid concern, of course. Publicly contributed data, it may be less structured, less precise than a controlled lab setting, but the sheer volume of it from real people in real situations, that has its own value.
A trade-off, then. A bit less accuracy for a broader, more realistic picture.
And they're developing tools to address that. Intuitive interfaces for easier data collection. Ways for users to provide feedback, correct errors, or add context.
Keeping it user-friendly, which is key. So what's the ultimate goal here? If this crowdsourced context recognition works, what does that future look like?
Imagine devices that adapt to you seamlessly. No more constant input. Your phone anticipates what you need. Your home responds accordingly. Your wearables give you insights you can actually use. All because the technology understands your context.
That's a powerful vision. Technology finally catching up to the nuances of being human.
And it all starts by understanding this thing we call context, the invisible connections that shape how we interact with the world.
That's a great point to end on. We've covered a lot of ground today, from the technical challenges to the ethical considerations. If you could design a sensor to capture one aspect of your life, what would it be? What unique challenges would you face in collecting that data, understanding it? Keep those questions in mind as you navigate our increasingly sensor-filled world. Until next time, thanks for joining us on this deep dive.